You are tuned in to Kids
in the Pit.
Okay. Hey guys, it's Gabe from the Kids in the Pit podcast. Today I'm joined by Kyle Manning from Off With Our Heads. Thanks so much for joining me.
Of course, man. Thank you for having me. This is really cool what you do.
Thanks.
I'm happy to be here.
So what are you doing Off With Our Heads?
I'm the drummer. I play the drums and I sing a little bit. I sing like backups a little bit. Yeah, backup vocals. That's relatively new to me. I've only been doing that in the band for maybe a year or so now, but yeah, mainly my job is the drummer. I keep the time. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's really cool. There's not really many drummers that sing. Like I don't know, you're not like the lead singer, but you do backup stuff, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I know like some, I think the only drummer that sings that I can think of would probably be Mikey Erg from the Ergs.
Sure. Yeah.
You guys playing a show with them, right?
Oh yeah, we played with them. I know Mikey real well. We're old friends. He was in Off With Their Heads for a little while too, actually.
Oh, that's cool.
Years and years ago. Yeah, that's right. He does that. There's a couple more. There's a band called Mastodon, like a heavy metal band. And I think all those guys sing. Yeah, all those guys sing. But the drummer sings a lot, and I really appreciate how he does that. He's probably my favorite vocalist in that band. Yeah, I suppose it's not too common, but it's something that I enjoy it. It's something I never thought I could do. I never really tried. But then we went on a 2-piece tour, just Ryan, the guitar player and singer, and I. We went on a tour that was just the two of us, and a lot of those songs do have backup vocals. And he was like, "Just try it out and see how it goes." And it went well. I'm not always in key every night. So that's a little tricky, but it's been a fun challenge for myself to kind of get out of my comfort zone a little bit. So I plan to keep doing it as long as I don't completely mess up and he tells me I have to stop.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried to sing and play drums, and it's really hard because it's just so different. Like the drums are so much different than like doing vocals.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much different. It's just complete multitasking. It's crazy.
Sure. I think it's, for me, playing those songs we play so often, especially when we're touring, you know, when you play every night and we rehearse and get ready, the drum parts are just kind of like in my head. So I'm not actually have to consciously think about that. I mean, I have to pay attention that I'm not going too fast or too slow and that I'm not kind of messing things up or I'm not dropping a drumstick or something or hitting things weird. But typically if I'm locked in, then that allows me to focus, but it was very much a challenge at first, especially trying to learn how to sing and whether it's too loud or whether it's too quiet. Cause I don't want to be singing louder than the guy in the band. That's the lead singer. Right. So, but yeah, you're right. It's very fun for me. It took a lot of practice though. Do you play the drums?
Yeah, I play drums, guitar, bass, and vocals.
That's awesome. Start your own one man band.
I mean, so I don't do like clean vocals like Off With Their Heads does. I mean, like I can, but I'm not necessarily good at it. Mm-hmm. But like I do more like screaming vocals and stuff. Like
sure, that's really hard for me. See, I can't do that. So that's cool.
Yeah, you just gotta like, I don't know how it works. You gotta push on your diaphragm to, you have to like push your diaphragm or it'll hurt your voice.
Sure. It sounds like you figured that out. That's never, I've tried that and I end up just hurting my throat. I don't know the technique.
Yeah, because if you don't push on your diaphragm, it just feels like there's a porcupine in your throat.
That's exactly.
Going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It hurts. I mean, it hurts if you don't push on your diaphragm. Yeah, if you
sure.
I just always do that. So what genre do you consider Off With Their Heads?
I think when people ask, you know, that have never heard it, I typically say punk rock. It's like a punk rock band, but I think I'm just so used to saying that because that's what other people have always kind of called it. I don't think that, I mean, right, there's an argument punk rock can kind of be whatever, but as I've joined it and as we've I've been playing in the band for a while. It's gotten, and it's always kind of been this way, but there's a less emphasis on speed. I typically associate punk rock with kind of fast music, and Off Their Heads is not really fast at all, but it's gotten heavier, you know? So somebody called the band one time skinhead emo, which I thought was really awesome. So like oi music, you know, like Cock Spar, I think that's always been kind of a big influence on the on our songs, and oi music kind of like that. But then it's also there's an emotional element to the lyrics and the melody. So I'm going with skinhead emo. I didn't make that up. Somebody said that about the band one time, and I'm rolling with that. I think it's unique enough and it's funny, but it also makes sense.
I mean, you guys are pretty similar to Hot Water Music. I know you guys are gonna be playing with them in May.
Sure. Yeah.
Seeing you. Yeah, like you guys are pretty similar because I still understand what to call Hot Water Music in you guys. Well, I guess I'll skinhead emo for you guys from now on. Would Hot Water Music be skinhead emo? I don't I mean they're not as emo.
I don't
Yeah,
know
they're
what
not
I would
really boy.
No, not really. I don't know what I'd call Hot Water Music either. I think there's
Like
what would you call it? What do you think?
maybe like so some like emo, I don't know, emo punk, because they have like they definitely have some emo like vibes, even some
Sure.
they even have some like almost country aspects, like
Absolutely. Yeah.
because I know Chuck Reagan like does his solo stuff is like almost completely country.
Totally. Yeah. I think, yeah, you know, that's interesting you say that, because I remember when I was in high school getting into Hot Water Music and listening to them, a lot of people did call it an emo band then. That was like the time of, like, at the drive-in. Not that they sound anything a lot, but I remember in high school people calling At the Drive-In an emo band, which seems wild when you think about what emo is now, or what, you know, you think about My Chemical Romance or and bands like that that are considered emo now, I guess. It's that's so different than Hot Water Music. But yeah, some people I think associate emo music with, it's kind of like a negative thing, but there's so many different branches of that tree, right? That like bands can be considered emo that sounds so different. But
Yep.
yeah, I don't
I
know.
mean,
It's
like,
interesting to think about.
there's like, I mean, yeah, like My Chemical Romance and stuff. That's like just straight up emo. But
Yeah.
like, that's like newer. I mean, they're from the 2000s and stuff. But like, that's just like normal emo. But there's also like hardcore-ish. Like, I think emo is kind of like almost a branch. Like, it started as a branch off of hardcore.
Sure, yeah.
Because there's like. I mean, there's stuff like Thursday, which is screamo, which is screaming emo,
Yeah.
which is they're also like kind of hardcore, like
Totally. I agree. Yeah, absolutely, man.
no, too many genres. I can't remember them all.
I know. It's funny. I used to be so kind of, I paid attention to what everything was called and I cared about that a lot when I was younger, but now it's just kind of like, if something sounds good, I like it. I don't get into, that's really big in the metal community. I listen to a lot of heavy metal music, or not even heavy, any all sorts of types of metal, and that fan base in metal music is really, really, some of those genres get really specific, and there tend to be arguing amongst fans and online about what specific types of
And
metal are what.
there's even stuff like diminished blackened progressive grindcore, like
Absolutely. Yeah. And see, that's like four different adjectives. Like,
yeah,
what? I
because
don't even know.
what's that even mean? I bet there's like one band that falls under that.
Exactly.
They have a genre for every single band, I bet.
Absolutely.
Anyway. So, what year did Off With Their Heads start, and were you always in the band?
I was not always in the band. So, like, let's see. The band started in 2003. I'm pretty sure it was 2003. I know that because last year in 2023, we did a full US and UK tour to celebrate 20 years of the band. So it started in 2003. I don't know too much about the beginning in terms of who was in it, but Ryan Young, the singer and guitar player, he's the only original member. There's been several, a list of people that have been in and out of the band, or that have maybe like recorded a record but never toured. There's been tons of people that have toured but never recorded. I started in my first show with Off With Their Heads, I believe, was December of 2015.
Okay, so
And oh, that's what, nine? It'll be 8.5 years. Let's say 8.5 years.
yeah, it'll be 9 years in December.
Yep. So, which is wild to think about. But I joined. There was a guitar player at the time that was in Off Their Heads named John Polidoris, and him and I were in another band together that had toured. That band was called the Fur Coats. And John's just a dude that was from the Chicago suburbs, and he played in a bunch of bands and came to shows. And he had joined Off With Their Heads maybe like he had been in the band for, a few years at that point. And they had needed a drummer. I think they were in the process of the current the drummer at that time was leaving the band, so they had asked me to kind of fill in and play a couple shows. And then it worked out. I played a couple shows, and then I ended up joining the band and helping write and record too. So that all happened within, I went from like playing one show, then I played another couple shows, and then I actually went on tour with the band and that following fall. And then, from there, I just kind of got settled in and became a full-time member. So.
Yep. I used to fill in on guitar or bass for my dad's band, but now since they like one of their guitarists completely left, I am fully in the band now.
Oh,
Except
that's cool.
so originally I was doing guitar. Now I'm bass because the bassist wanted to play guitar, so I'm bass
There
now.
you go. Well, that's cool that you can play both. Maybe sometimes you can switch. I don't
Bass
know.
is fun.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And in Yeah, we're doing a 4-day tour in the UK next month, and I'm only 12, so that's gonna be
That's
great.
awesome. That's really cool, man.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't know how, like, we did it last year in June, and it's just happening again for some reason.
Yeah,
You
that's
didn't
really
play
cool.
last year. Oh yeah, I didn't play last year.
You just went to hang out.
Yeah, I just came with them. I was pretty much the roadie, but I didn't really do anything.
That's rad. Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun getting to do that. I didn't go. I've been to the UK a few times, but it wasn't until I was much older than you that I got to go the first time. So that's really, really, really cool. I'm
Yep.
stoked for you. Are you excited?
Definitely, yeah, it's gonna be very
Yeah.
fun.
It sounds like you've been before, but being able to play on stage over there is going to be a much different experience. That's going to be rad.
Yep. So last time there were six people because it was five people in the band and there was me, except now that it's still a five piece, but I'm in it, so there's gonna be more room in the van.
There you go. That's always a plus.
I was cramped in the back seat with one of the members. But it was
Yeah.
still fun.
Yeah. It'd be nice to spread out a little bit, I'm sure.
Yep, definitely. Okay, so where's Off With Their Heads from, and does everyone still live there?
The band started in Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's where Ryan is kind of from that area. He started the band there. Nobody still lives there. So the three of us that are in the band now, it's me, Ryan, and then the bass player's name is Kevin. There's just three of us. We all live in Chicago. So we all live, Ryan lives probably, like 3 or 4 miles away from
Yep.
me. And Kevin lives even closer to me than he does. So we're all real close now. But yep, we all live here, but the band started in Minneapolis. Ryan hasn't lived in many, none of the members have lived in Minneapolis for a long time.
Yep. I really like Chicago. I've been there once, I think, and I saw the bean.
Oh, really? You went
Yep.
downtown? Yeah.
Yeah, the bean was cool.
Yeah.
Also, I saw you guys, I don't remember which song it was, but for one of your videos, one of your music videos, it was at the, like, it was at, like, a cat arcade. Catcade? Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember
Yeah,
seeing
we
that. I saw
Yeah,
that.
that's in Chicago. Yeah, we
Yep,
did a
I want
music
to go
video
there.
there. It's cool. You should. So where we shot that music video, that it's not in that building anymore. They bought like a they moved into like a way bigger building, and it's really, really, really cool. Yeah, we're really close with those guys. Ryan does a lot of work with them. He prints their t-shirts for them and does a lot of fundraising stuff for
Nice.
them, which is cool.
Yep.
Yeah, they're great people.
I'll go there for sure if I ever make it back to Chicago, which I probably will, because
For sure.
there's always like shows and stuff in Chicago.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
It's a good city for that.
So my favorite Off With Their Heads song is I Am You. Do you have a favorite Off With Their Heads song?
I do have a favorite Off Their Heads song. It's one that we don't really play very much, and I couldn't even tell you why. It's my favorite Off of Their Head song, but it's an older song called "That Must Be Nigel with the Brie." It's off of a if it's off a record called "All Things Move Toward Their End," which is like a collection. It's like a collection record of like a bunch of stuff that was on splits and 7 inches and unreleased stuff and different versions of song stuff. But yeah, that song I really like. Every once in a while, somebody will request it and we get to play it. But I think that happens maybe once every tour, if that. So it's not something that we normally put into our set list. I don't think Ryan likes it very much. Not that he hates it or anything. It's just an older, it's really old. So like we try to play some of the newer stuff. And but for some reason, I love that song. I Am You is a really fun one to play live too. When we play that one, we usually play it kind of towards the front of the set because it really kind of gets us warmed up. That one's really fun. There's a few songs playing them live where there's breaks in the songs. So it'll slow down, or like it'll kind of like the guitar will cut out and it'll just be drums for a second to keep the beat. Those are really fun to play because then we can kind of mess around. Like Ryan might do something funny or tell a story, for example, or I'll get to do a silly drum solo, or Kevin will get to do something silly, or we take those breaks and go into other songs and then come back. It's just so those are the ones that are kind of my favorite. I Am You is a great example. We do that with that song sometimes too.
Wait, what was the song you said that was your favorite?
It's called "That Must Be Nigel with the Brie," which is
Hi.
that's a quote from the movie 10 Things I Hate About You, if you've ever seen that.
Well, so since you get to play it on the tour, please play that one.
I'll try, man. I'll tell him. I'll try to play that in Philly. It's a little different. Like sometimes, sometimes Ryan will let me throw that one on the set, but we'll see. I'll ask him. We'll see what he says.
Say that I requested it.
All right, that'll work for sure, man.
Yep. So, what was your first punk show and how old were you? Or just
Oh
like
man,
hardcore or something?
my first show that punk adjacent, I would say, was I went and saw the Suicide Machines. It was this band, the Suicide Machines. They're from Detroit. This band, Big Wig, who's from New Jersey, and then the opening band was this band, the Get Up Kids, who were like a full. They were like an emo band. Yeah, it was a wild bill. I don't think those three bands were on tour together at the time. I think maybe it was like. Like Suicide Machines and Big Wig were on tour together, and then I think the Get Up Kids were. This was in Indianapolis, kind of near where I grew up, and I think maybe they had the day off in that city or were looking for a show or something, so they jumped on that show, and it was really, really cool. It was that was two. Th I think that was two the year 2000, so I would have been 14.
I know the Get Up Kids are a lot bigger now, right?
They are, yeah. It was like that. So that was 2000. So I think, trying to remember what record would have been out. I know that I was into them. I know that I had at least one of their records, but I was much, much more excited about the Suicide Machines and Big Wig. But it was kind of like an added bonus because I was really into all that emo stuff when I was in high school, too. So yeah, 14. I'd been to concerts before that and stuff, but I remember that was the first one. My best friend in high school was a couple years older than me. So he could drive. At that time, he had his license, so we were able to go. That was like the first one I went to with my friends. That was like, okay, this is punk. And the drummer of Big Wig lit his drums on fire, which I thought was super cool, but also probably really dangerous in a small like club like that. But
On fire, they
yeah,
burn.
he set his drum. He poured like lighter fluid on all of his drums and like set them on fire when they were done. I saw it was like the coolest thing I'd ever seen. I've never seen another band really do that either.
Did they
So.
like, did the drums like completely burn down? Like, did he destroy a drum kit for that?
No, I think what it was like with like lighter fluid or whatever substance he used, it burns up really quick. So nothing actually caught on fire. It was just kind of like the liquid that he had poured on it kind of went up in flames really quick and then burnt and then it went out. But that was sweet, man. Yeah, that was
I guess
yeah.
if you poured it on your cymbals, I think it would be hard to mess up cymbals with fire because they're made of metal.
Yeah.
They have to get really hot.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. He could have melted his drum heads or damaged. Depends on maybe some of the wood on the shells.
Yeah, I feel
That's
like that's
crazy.
a bad idea.
Yeah.
So earlier today I had this like fishing wire and I cut it. I cut it in half and I wanted to see if you could burn it back together with the lighter. It did, but I held the lighter on it too long, and like a piece of molten plastic burned my hand, and it hurt.
Oh, man.
Right.
Oh, I see. You're gonna have a yeah, you get a little scar
Off
there.
my pointer finger. You can.
Yeah, man, melted plastic. That's yeah. If it gets on you, that's like more. It's like lava.
So bad. I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah.
I can't feel it anymore. I think I probably killed some nerve endings.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun. And
I'm
like,
glad you didn't do too much damage. Yeah.
yeah, it just started dripping, and I was like, oh no, what do I do? So I started running
Yeah.
over, and it just landed on my hand, and I was like, I didn't feel the pain at first because I was just like instinct, I'm not going to die. So I just ran,
Right.
and I just put water on it, and it came off. It just hurt really bad.
Yeah, I was gonna say burns are painful, man. You gotta be careful. Put
Did
some,
you
you get
first?
some Neosporin or something, some salve to put on there, make it heal better.
I'll play with lighters.
So, what does the band you suggest other people go see live?
You know, honestly, man, my favorite band to tour with, my favorite band to see, some of my best friends in the world is this band, Single Mothers. We've toured with them twice. We've done big tour, like long, extensive tours with that band two different times. Once in 2019, I think, and then again just this last year, 2023. They are a band from, I think they started up in, they're from Canada, like Toronto area. And there's a little bit of something for everybody there if you like any sort of heavy music or punk music adjacent stuff at all. The singer Drew, that band kind of works in a similar way that Off Their Heads does, where the only original member and the guy that writes most of the songs is this guy Drew Thompson, and he gets people to kind of fill in when he can. It's usually the same four or five people that he kind of shuffles around, it seems like, or at least the last couple tours we did with him was like that. And they're so fun, man. They're really, really energetic. They like rock out when they play, and they're super tight. They hardly ever make mistakes. They're just that locked in, and they're really, really cool people to be around, and that you can tell that they're having fun. So that is by far my favorite band to see live, Single Mothers. Check them out if you haven't heard them. They're really awesome to listen to. I love the records, but to see if you get a chance to see them live,
Yep.
definitely do it.
I don't even think I'm tired, and I'm not bored either. I just yawn. Earlier today, my friend told me that apparently you don't yawn when you're tired. You just apparently it's a loss of oxygen. I have no idea if that's true. He just said that.
I've heard that too. Yeah, you're trying to breathe in oxygen in a way really deeply, and it's that's another thing. It's like contagious, right? Right? Is that like if you see somebody else yawning, then you want to yawn? Yeah. If you start thinking about it.
Probably because your brain's like, oh, there's not much oxygen in this room. I gotta get a lot of.
Exactly.
Yep.
That's funny.
I gotta get as much as I can before they take it all.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So, what is your favorite place you've toured in?
Favorite place I've toured. I really like going to the UK. I really like playing Scotland, and like that you can go over and do that if you're touring on the in the UK. Like you said, you're coming up, you're doing like you said 4 days there. Like you're
Base. It's
so it's
all in England. It just Sheffield, Newcastle, Plymouth, and Bristol.
Oh, that's really cool. Bristol is one of my favorite places to play on that I've ever played.
So, when we were there last year, we didn't play in Bristol, but after it was three shows last time. It was London, Plymouth, except it was also Newport, Wales, which was kind of cool. It
I've
was.
never played Wales. I've been over to the UK probably six or seven times now, and I've never played Wales.
It was
I've
like the.
driven through there. I remember there was one day we had a couple days off. I'm one of the first times I was over there. We were over there for like 10 days, which is actually a really long time to try to tour the UK because it's so small. But we had a couple days off when we went and kind of hung out in Wales, but I've never played. That's really cool, man.
I mean, so let's see. Yeah, so the place it wasn't in a very good area. Yeah, Newport, Wales. Have you ever heard of it?
No,
Yeah,
no.
it was like a small little club. There was this very chaotic band there called Doomsday Clock, and they were like the singer was like just I don't know, he was just like just going nuts. He was just like going up to people and just like shoving them.
Really? It was like, okay. Were they like a hardcore band?
No, they were like noise. It was just like
oh, so it was just like totally chaotic energy.
Just like blast beats and just like 250 BPM and just whoa. Like crazy feedback. It was nuts.
That sounds nuts, yeah, man.
Also, like the singer's like pants were almost falling down. Like, wear a belt, please.
That's super funny, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Doomsday Clock, yeah. Check that out.
But yeah, we stayed in Bristol after the Newport show, and it looked awesome there, but we didn't play show there.
Yeah, Bristol is a very, very cool city. There's this place there that we always play. I think I've only played the one place called The Exchange, and it's really cool. It's like a record store. There's like a record store in it, and it's like a cafe and a bar, and then in the back is like the venue part where like you can play, and it's a really, really good time. There's like a really along that street, like the main street where that venue is, there's all sorts of really, really cool stuff to do. But yeah, I love Bristol. I love all of it over there. Like even up, like I was saying, up in Scotland can be really, really fun. Yeah. Depending on where you play there. But no, we were just there last year. I hope to go back again. We don't have any plans to go there this year, but maybe next year.
Yep. I mean, maybe we're playing that place in Bristol. I have no idea what the venues are called.
Sure. Yeah. Well, either way, you'll have a good time. Bristol's great, man.
Yeah. Like just from what I saw, it was a beautiful town.
For sure.
Yep. And I heard you're a teacher, right?
I am a teacher. Yep. That's my job when I'm home from tour.
So, what do you teach and what grade?
I teach. So my degree and my background is special education. So I teach special ed. I, most commonly work with this year. I'm doing middle school. But the school I work at this year is kind of like if a teacher is absent, then I'll go to that position and fill in for them for the day. Like I'm like a permanent sub, so to speak. But normally I teach special ed. If nobody's absent and they don't need a sub, then I'll teach seventh grade special ed. So that's like, I'll pull a group of students out of the main, once the main teacher teaches them in the classroom, then I'll pull a smaller group of students of like four or five students into either the hallway or into a smaller classroom and work with them in a smaller group just to help kind of reinforce the teaching that the lead teacher did. Now help them with their homework and stuff like that. So yeah, I've been teaching probably 10 years, longer than that, probably like 13, 14 years now.
Nice. That's I don't know why, I just can't stop yawning. I keep yawning. Also, for some reason, when I yawn, like, it looks like I'm crying. I just tear up a lot when I yawn for some reason.
Your body's going nuts, man. No,
yeah, why am I? Mom, can you get more oxygen in this room, please? That's CO2.
Okay. Because you know he's a teacher, and teachers are boring.
That's right. I'm
room, so you
blabbing on and on.
Taking up all my oxygen. I'm kidding.
We like blabbing.
Yep. So I think I'd be in seventh grade if I went to school because I'm homeschooled.
Yeah, you're homeschooled. Do you like that?
Yep. I mean, it's more fun than school. I've never tried school, but I feel like it's probably more fun because. Sure. I mean, also I don't have to wake up at like 7 a.m. I kind of can just like wake up. Sometimes I'll stay up till like 2 a.m. and wake up at like 1 p.m.
Sure. That's cool. Like you have your own schedule, right? As long as you get everything done, like on your own schedule. I think that's really cool, man.
I mean, I don't even have that much of a schedule. I kind of just learn enough there's these like websites and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever have you ever heard of Sporkle?
Yes, absolutely. I do that on my phone all the time. Yeah.
I always do the geography quiz. I mean, like last year I did the geography quizzes and I learned every single country and where they are.
That's really cool. Yeah, I love those Sporkle quizzes of that, or like state capitals or like countries of Europe and stuff. Those are really fun.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I just like it would show all the countries and I didn't have to name them. It's a really good system because when you lose, like, I mean, when you not lose, but when you don't name all of them, it shows you where everyone is. So then you just memorize that and you keep
right.
Get it. It's an amazing system.
That's awesome. It's really cool that you can learn that way. It sounds like you're an independent learner. I mean, I'm just based on what you're telling me. That's really cool. That's really cool, man. A lot of kids can't do that. That's like the kids that I teach, for example, like they would not be able to do something like that. If they were left to kind of learn independently, they would really have a hard time. Not all of them, but you know, that's why my job exists, is to help people. So where I come from and like the education that I'm used to, it's a lot more directed by a teacher as opposed to the independent thing. I think that's so cool that you can do that. Sounds like it's really working out for you.
Yeah, definitely. I think just like
you're doing okay.
So the thing is, like, with certain things I'm ahead, and mm-hmm. few things I might be a little behind. Like with math, I'm probably not completely ahead.
No.
Like I'm probably a little bit below average, but like mm-hmm. with geography and like geography,
reading,
spelling. I'm pretty good at grammar, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
With all that, I'm definitely ahead. Just like math and stuff like that, I'm behind.
Seventh grade math can be a little bit, yeah, because you said you're 12. That's around, yeah, sixth, seventh grade. Actually more like seventh into eighth grade, but like some of that math concept, it's hard. A lot of it's like ratios. Is that what you're like learning about? Have you done ratios or like
fractions?
Yeah, so I'm kind of in fractions. Is that what
fractions?
Probably sixth.
Yeah, I'm probably like a grade behind, but I mean,
it's complicated, man. And getting into like that's right there is kind of where a lot of kids. It's the point I'm trying to make is that I think a lot of the expectations for math just in this American school system and where kids should be at, it's that jump from sixth to seventh grade is, and even into eighth grade in high school it's a big jump. So if you're, it's a lot of kids tend to, there are a lot of kids that aren't where they, or that maybe, as you said, were below average or below where the educational standards say they should be. So
yep.
It's math's tough.
Also, who needs math and you have this?
Exactly. I know. Everybody's got a calculator in their pocket now.
Also, like, if you need to do crazy math, like, in, like, calculus and stuff, I know I'm not there yet because that's, like, college. Like, mm-hmm. You're never going to use it unless you're, like, an architect or something. Like,
exactly.
Say you have a job, like, being in a band. You don't need to use math.
Nope, not always. It's more like the math that you will use every day are things like percentages, right?
Yeah, percent.
Like how much, what percent, and that's even like, you know, what's 20% of something? What's this amount? Sometimes when you get into finances with bands, or like when you need to learn about like, how much should I sell this merch for? How much profit can I make?
Yeah.
How much percentage do I need to do? Is this venue going to take a certain percentage of the money? You know, those are the kinds of things, but like,
I mean,
yeah, you're right. Calculus, geometry, you don't really need.
I'm able
stuff
to.
Like that.
I'm able to split all that up.
There you go. That's what I tell my students. Percentages, if you learn anything, it's decimals and percentages, and you won't even use them probably every day, but that's the kind you should really pay attention to.
Yep. I mean, so my dad uses the Pythagorean theorem a lot because he has, like, his job is, like, working, like, duct work, like sheet metal.
Yeah. He's sure.
Walker, sheet metal worker. So he uses stuff like that. But if I don't have that job, I don't need to learn all this algebra and stuff. But if I do get that job, I can learn algebra.
Exactly. Yeah. Prepare yourself if you need to, right?
But like, yeah, certain things. Okay, what is the craziest thing you've ever eaten?
Craziest thing I've ever eaten? Man, I'm trying. I saw this question earlier, and I was trying to think about it. I think I'm not a picky eater, so I try. Oh, you know what? I'll say this. I went the other night to a restaurant. This is maybe not the craziest thing ever, but the top of my head, I have a friend that works in this restaurant in Chicago, and it's like a big, it's like very big in like chef culture. This restaurant called Warlord, and my friend that he's in a band that we've toured with, he's a bar manager there. So he was like, come check this out. Like, it's really, they cook everything over an open flame.
Wow.
So I had, I went and I got this, it's like foie gras ganache. It's like hard for me to even say. And I think what it is it's like duck liver that's like made into like a spread, and then you put it on this bread. And it was like, when I was there, I was like, I want to try the craziest looking thing. If I'm getting, because the thing is, like, you go and you have to put your name in, you have to wait a really long time. But my friend was like, you can kind of jump the line. And I was like, what is one of the, like, the craziest things? Something I could not probably get almost anywhere else. And that was the thing. And it was, I was a little terrified of it at first, but it was actually really, really good. It was really rich. It almost just tastes like bread and butter, honestly, but like really, really rich butter. Yeah. But that, like, I like eating oysters. Oysters, like, kind of gross people out. That's kind of a weird thing. But
oysters,
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. I really like oysters.
Haven't I?
I don't think so.
Oh, no.
You have mussels.
I've had clam mussels, right?
Yeah, way different.
Yeah.
Oysters.
Wait, what are oysters?
I mean, like,
they're clams, what? Right?
It's like, if you have them served in the half shell, they're like, it's like in a shell, and then they're kind of slimy. And you can put like horseradish or like hot sauce and salt. And then they come with like a little spoon that you kind of like stir it up, and then you kind of like slurp them out. They're real slimy and weird, but I love them.
I mean, so in, have you ever heard of fairy bread? It's like a big thing in Australia.
No, I haven't.
So we have an Australian friend. You know Furnace Fest, right? The festival in Alabama.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So he came up to where we live, and we went on a road trip down to Furnace Fest with him because he was going. Mm-hmm. And he brought a ton of snacks from Australia, and we tried them. One of them was fairy bread, and how you make it, it's just bread.
White bread,
butter, and sprinkles. Or as they call it, hundreds and thousands, which is sprinkles.
Wait, like just like that you put on ice cream? Like sprinkles like that?
Yeah, those sprinkles.
Wow.
It's good.
That's funny. My girlfriend loves sprinkles. That's like little, like if you would ask her what her favorite like food is, if you could count sprinkles as a food, she would say sprinkles. So I can't wait to tell her about that. I'm sure she'll run out and try to buy the stuff to do it.
Give her fairy bread. Just white bread, butter, and sprinkles.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. No, I've never heard of that. That's cool. Yeah.
You don't do it like a sandwich. You do like each slice. You eat each half like a bagel.
Sure. Open face style, yeah.
Yeah, like toast. Yeah.
Yep. It's pretty good.
That's cool.
Yep. So, do you have any crazy tour stories that are appropriate to tell me?
Sure. Here's the thing, like so that's the thing about our band. We don't really party. We don't really get into too much trouble. So like a lot of bands, when you think about like tour stories, it's like these crazy things that happen when you're partying or like staying out. And we don't really do that. We kind of like, we might have a couple drinks before we play. Maybe I'll drink after we're done. And then we're all kind of in a hurry to get out of there and go back to the hotel. Cause we go back to we call it the pizza slumber party, even though we might not get pizza. We might order but we'll get late night food. We'll put on a movie. We'll all chill together, like kind of fall asleep. And then just kind of process through the day. And it's like you have a slumber party every night. So that's kind of like, for a lot of us, that's our favorite thing. That's very comforting. It's that comfort feeling of being together. But I will say, like, some of our crazy stories are just, the thing about being on tour is if something breaks or something goes wrong, you have to fix it. Okay, you have to put your heads together. And that's the way our band operates. And I think we do it really well. So I'll say here, like, this is something... This is something that just happened back in, we did a tour in like November. We were leaving the day after Halloween. And are you familiar with The Fest in Florida?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I've,
you can tell them.
Okay. Wait, okay. Is it announced?
This will be after.
Okay. So, my band, my dad's band, Thought Control, we're playing Fest.
Really?
Yeah.
That's you guys awesome. I don't know yet. We have not done it since 2018, 2017. It's been a while since we've done it. I don't know if we've been asked or not. Last year we wanted to do it, but we were just on tour and doing something else at the time. But yeah, have you ever been before?
Yeah, I've been 2023 and 2022.
Okay. So getting to play it is going to be really cool for you, I'm sure. So, but yeah, like my story was that Kevin, the bass player, he's in another band that plays Fest. He was going down there to sell some merch and do his thing. He took the band van down there. The van transmission went out. The van broke down in Atlanta. This was probably a week before we needed to leave for tour. So we were like, okay, well, let's just see how it goes. Days kept going by. Turns out they couldn't get the part for this transmission or the new transmission installed in time. So Ryan and I were like, what do we do? Do we cancel the tour? What do we do? So we decided that because we can do the band as a two-piece, because we've done that as a tour before, we rented a U-Haul box truck, loaded everything into the box truck, drove it out to the first show, which was in York, Pennsylvania, played that show, drove the box truck to Philly, played that show, all the while Kevin is still waiting on the van to get fixed. And then eventually we made it work. And those are the kinds of things that I just never thought I would be like, that was even going to be an option. Like, do we rent a U-Haul and drive it halfway across the country to play these shows? Because, you know, the show must go on when you're on tour, right? If it can, it must. So it's stuff like that. We've had other things happen where like we've broken down or wasn't sure how we were going to fix it or didn't have a place to stay. And you just kind of put your heads together and become problem solvers really quickly to make sure you can get it done. But I think that's maybe the craziest thing just because we made it work. But in terms of like just wild, crazy stuff that happens, I don't have too many of those. It's usually pretty chill in our camp. So.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh yeah. So if you guys do play the fest, we'll be able to catch your set and maybe you guys can catch our set.
What's your band's name? What's your dad's band? The band you're playing in? What's it called?
Thought Control.
Thought Control?
Yep.
Do you have stuff recorded?
Yeah, we got two albums currently that are out.
7 inches.
Yeah, 7 inches.
Oh, that's cool. I wrote it down. I'll have to check it out.
They're on Spotify currently. Yeah, we can check it out.
Oh, sweet. Yep. For sure.
So what was your favorite movie when you were my age?
I was your age. Let's see, 12? What was I into? I like a lot of horror movies. I've always been really into horror movies. I was 12, middle school. You know, my favorite, still to this day, I don't know if it is my favorite. That might change depending on the mood I'm in. But my favorite movie when I was a kid was this movie, An American Werewolf in London. And this was a movie that, like, I think amongst my generation, I'll be 38 years old this year. So when amongst my friends, we had all seen that movie. It was just kind of like this cultural thing that came out in like 1980, I think. And my parents were watching it all the time growing up. All my friends had seen it. I was probably too young to see that movie when I did. I think it scared me the first time I saw it, but it's also really funny and really silly. So yeah, that's An American Werewolf in London. I don't know if it's rated R, so I don't know if you're allowed to watch rated R movies, but definitely worth a recommendation. It'd be interesting to see what someone your age would think of it now. It might seem really, really old.
I usually watch rated R like horror movies and stuff.
So, there, like, you go.
They're usually not that bad. It's just very they're usually just very gory.
Sure. Yep. This one's not too gory. It's and like I said, it's kind of funny too. But I was really into like werewolves and vampires when I was a kid. So I think it really was, I was like, this werewolf movie is really, really hitting all the, ticking all the boxes.
I'll try to watch it and I'll report back to you.
For sure, man.
Yep. So what is a year in the future or in the past that you would travel to in a time machine if there was no like risk of dying or messing anything up?
Let me think. You know what? I think I would go back. I'll be honest. I've had a pretty good life overall. I think I would, maybe no one would say this because I know high school was a hard time for a lot of people, but I think I would go back and do high school again and maybe take it a little more seriously. I guess it just depends. Like if I could know what I know now going back, like a Back to the Future situation, but I don't know. I would go back to those. I kind of, as I've gotten older and just like, you know, more responsibilities and things, it was nice to have that time in high school where I was, you know, I was still working a job, a part-time job, and I was in school and I had a girlfriend and I had good friends and, you know, all the stuff. I was going to shows, playing in bands. That was a really fun time for me in my life. I think I would do that over again.
Yeah, also, that, Also, what you could do is you could take an iPhone, take it back to the past and sell it, and then make
You go.
money.
I think that's what he does in Back to the Future, right? He or like Biff gets a hold of the sports almanac, so you could go take an almanac and go back and bet on all the teams that you know are going to win and make money that
Oh
way.
yeah, well that makes sense. But
Yeah.
so I just realized the thing with an iPhone, that would be the paradox, because if you quote unquote created it, then Steve Jobs would have never created Apple. So then the iPhone would have never been made. Then you wouldn't have been able to take it back.
Yep. See, that's what gets tricky about time travel, right? Probably best to just go and live it as it was and not try to mess anything up.
Yeah, I mean the sports thing would work.
Yeah, if you knew who was going to win like every Super Bowl and even like, you know, if you kind of memorized that and knew all the teams that were going to win, you can make some good money doing that. Although
Sports gambling
that
would
might be a
work.
little bit different, 'cause if I it depends, like if I were this age and I went back to the past, I could still gamble pretty easily, but if I went back and I was the age of like a high schooler, that might be, it's probably harder to gamble. I don't know. There's a lot to wrap your head around.
Yep. So if you could tell your 12-year-old self anything at all, what would you tell him?
See, I would say, you know what, man, I wish I started playing drums when I was 10 years old and I stuck with it till I was probably like 15 or 16. Then I stopped for a while. I just had kind of had trouble finding people to play with and all that. I would tell myself to like spend more time learning guitar, because I cannot play guitar now, like very well at all. I know some chords, but that's pretty much it. I never took time to practice and get better at my dexterity. I would go back and kind of do what you're doing. I would try to like learn as many instruments as possible and then just stick with it. 'Cause I think there was a time in my life around that age, 12, 13, where I really leaned into not being told what to do. And my parents really wanted me to learn things. And it's not that I didn't love my parents, that we didn't get along, but I was kind of rebelling against that. And I kind of wanted to do my own thing. And I think if I could go back, I would or tell myself, like, hey, man, practice, keep practicing, practice every day. Because the way your brain works when you're that age, as it's still developing, you learn things and retain things a lot better, but you still have to practice. If I were to sit down and try to play guitar now or bass now, I could do it. But first of all, I don't have as much time as I did as when I was younger. And also, because my brain is more developed and it's older, it's going to be harder for me to absorb that as quickly as I could if I were younger. So, yeah, that's what I would say. Become a better musician, practice, stay dedicated, stay disciplined.
Also, remember, it's never too late to play an instrument, like
That's
learn.
true. You're right.
Because my grandpa, he learned how to play guitar. How old was he? 40? You know, Grandpa
Oh,
Jim. He learned guitar when he was like 40.
probably.
Yeah. Like he
That's
just learned guitar when he was 40, and
like 80-something.
he's like 80 now, so he
Plays every
knows.
day.
Yeah, he plays guitar all the time.
Oh,
It's
that's awesome. See, you know, there's still hope. You're right. You're absolutely right.
All right, so anything to add before we wrap it up?
I don't think so, man. This was really cool what you do. I'm glad that I could work out. Thank you for being flexible. I'm in the middle of I'm moving right now. I'm in the middle of packing up my apartment that I've lived in forever. So this was a nice break to be able to do that. And I think it's really cool that you've got this thing that you're clearly very good at and that you clearly appreciate. And yeah, good luck on your tour, man. Yeah, stay in touch. Email, you got my email now, so email me. Let me know how it goes. And then you said you're coming to the Philly show, right?
Yep, we should be.
Yep, for sure.
Also, when you're moving, are you just like moving across Chicago, or are you moving like?
Yeah, I'm moving like 1 mile down the road, but it's like so, and even then, it's like I'm paying for movers, like somebody to come do all the heavy lifting, literally. But I've just got so much stuff, man, so many records and video games and
Yeah.
stuff that I've kind of amassed over the years. I've lived in this apartment for 7 years, but we have to move because the guy that owns the building, he lives upstairs, and his family and him are selling the building, so I have to move. I have to find another place to
Thank you.
live. So, but you know. It
Move.
won't be too bad, huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kyle, for joining me today, and thanks to all of you for watching and listening. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel or follow me on Spotify and other streaming platforms. Until next week, bye.
All right, see you, buddy. Thanks so much.
Yep, see ya.
Cool.